Okay, it's the 21st day of March already. In 2021, the year of our Lord, if you would, turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 12 again. And we'll take up where we left off last Lord's Day. 1 Peter chapter 1. Verse 12. Let's start at verse 6 so we get the gist of it again. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Our God, we thank you for the reading of your word, Father, this morning. We pray your blessings upon it. Pray that you'd forgive us of our sins and help us this day, O Lord, that you might feed your sheep, use your servant for your glory and your honor. And help us, O Lord, as we delve into the wonderful truths of thy holy word. We ask it in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The scheme of salvation revealed. That's not exactly how it's stated in the scriptures, and I usually like to go exactly, but this scheme of salvation revealed, and in verse 12 it says, unto whom it was revealed, that not unto themselves, but now unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. And they do. It's a wonderful thing to think about the angels and their great power that they have worshiping their God, our God, singing praises unto him as they did when the Lord Jesus was born and came down with a great chorus and sang praises unto the Lord Jesus and unto God the Father. It's a wonderful thing to think about these great angels, even though if we've seen them, we probably did not know that we had seen an angel because the Bible says they would come to us even as men, unawares. But we have no doubt that they are interested in the scheme of this salvation, the scheme of salvation that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit put into place in eternity past, as we saw last week. And we know that this was before the foundations of the earth, according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. It was before the foundation of the earth that this scheme was laid, and that it was in the process of time when it was time for this. It was prophesied by all the prophets, Moses, Abraham, and all those great men of old prophesied about the coming Messiah. And they did exactly. Isaiah, all of the prophets, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, prophesied about the Messiah that was to come. And so it was not for them, but it was for us, the apostle says, that this great revelation of this scheme of salvation was brought to our understanding. And the Apostle Paul preached, and all the apostles preached from those Old Testament prophets prophesying about the coming of the Messiah, and that's what they used to preach the gospel with. They understood in the Old Testament the same as we understand today, but we have a more clear understanding than they did. It was in the Messiah that was to come that they prophesied about, and their salvation and their faith was in Him, just like it is in Him with us today. He already having come and suffered and died on the cross, resurrected, rose from the dead, ascended on high, and sat down beside the Father on His throne. And we read last week from John chapter 1, verses 43 through 51, where the Lord Jesus told them in verse 51 that the day is coming when you'll see the angels ascending and descending on the Son of Man. And they did. The apostles, the disciples saw those that very thing, Nathanael being one of those that saw those wonderful things. And then it could only come through and by the God-man, Jesus Christ the Lord, was the only way that this scheme of salvation could be carried out, because nobody else was worthy or fit to be able to do such a thing. It had to be the God-man that was a mediator between God and man, who, by the way, we are here today to remember, and that He did die in our room instead and was resurrected from the dead. And the angels did descend and ascend to the Lord Jesus during His ministry on this earth, as they do to His body, the church. Even today, even though we may be unaware of the thing, the angels are with us and they are present, and they watch over us and care for us. And when Jesus came and preached the gospel, it was like the heavens were opened. Let's go back to Genesis now, where we left off last week. Genesis chapter 28. Reason being, I want to make sure that we understand what Jacob saw here. What Jacob saw and what it meant. Jacob's dream at Bethel. And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went down toward Haran. And he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven, and behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father, and the God of Isaac, the land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And he's in Canaan, of course, and left Beersheba and went to Haran. And the seed, and thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee, and I will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and I will bring thee again into this land. For I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. And Jacob awaked out of his sleep, and he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. And he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. And Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he had put for his pillow and set it up for a pillar, and poured oil upon the top of it, and he called the name of that place Bethel. But the name of that city was called Luz at the first. And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God will be with me, and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat, and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God, And this stone, which I have set for a pillar, shall be God's house. And all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. That's his tithe that he promised the Lord that he would give him for watching over him and caring for him and giving him a tenth of all that God gave him, because it was God's to begin with. And it was given to Jacob. Now, this dream that he had was such a wonderful thing to Jacob that he said, surely this is the house of God. Because this pillar that I used for a pillow at night had to be some kind of blessing that God would cause me to see that such things as I've seen, the heavens opened, a ladder from earth to heaven with God standing at the top of it, and the angels ascending and descending, going up and down. Well, I tell you, that was a picture of the Lord Jesus coming to the earth and beginning to preach the gospel. And it was like the heavens were opened when Jesus appeared on the scene to preach the gospel. And he opened up people's eyes and their understanding to this scheme of salvation, that they had never been able to see it before like the Lord Jesus preached it. And even those scribes and Pharisees says, this man speaketh like no man has ever spoke. He speaks with authority. And there were wonderful and magnificent messages delivered by the Lord Jesus and then by his apostles, eye-opening things that they had never seen before. The Jews had always thought that Christ was going to come, the Messiah would come and set up a kingdom on this earth, and he would rule and reign in Jerusalem and be the king like David was and run off all their enemies and overcome them, and that's what would happen. They did not understand that it was going to be a spiritual kingdom. It was not an earthly kingdom that Christ come to set up, but a spiritual one. And even the disciples, Peter and John, James and Andrew, they did not understand that. When he told them, I'm going to be crucified and I'm going to die on the cross and be resurrected in 3 days, they did not understand. And even Peter told him, not so, Lord. I mean, how do you tell the Lord Jesus, not so, Lord? They did not understand until the day of Pentecost. And on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Ghost came down and filled them and enlightened them and opened their eyes and their understanding so they could see and understand, it was just like Jacob's ladder that reached from the earth to heaven and angels ascending and descending, bringing great messages of salvation and the scheme and the plan of salvation, so that people would understand. And then Peter understood, and the apostles understood, that he didn't come to set up an earthly kingdom. He didn't come to drive off our physical enemies, the Romans or whoever else might be hurting them, but he come to save his people from their sins. And he has a kingdom and he has a church. And it's the same one that he's always had, whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And he took our place. Still today, the Holy Ghost, great and wonderful messages are sent from on high to his sheep by the Spirit of the living God. All we have to do is read the book. Just read the book and pray that the Lord might open our understanding. We can read it. If we live to be 100 years old, we could read it every day and still not get the gist of all of it. It will continue to come on us. It'll continue to be enlightened about the scheme of this salvation and how great and marvelous and wonderful it is. And we'll see things unfold in our lifetime that we've never seen before. And we're seeing them now with this nation. Let me pull up so I won't have to turn to all of these. Let's see. Well, since I'm right here, I can turn to that first one, Genesis 32. and 1 and 2. And Jacob went on his way. The angels of God, and the angels of God met him. And when Jacob saw them, he said, "This is God's host." And he called the name of that place Mahanaim. Now, where he was at, where he called the name of that place Bethel, where he said, "Surely this is the house of God," he was only about 12 miles from Jerusalem, where the house of God would be built, where the temple would be built. He was just a stone's throw away from it then. And when Jacob saw them, he said, "This is God's host," and he called the name of that place Mahanaim. Now, angels always came and met with God's men that he had, his spokespersons on the earth. The angels would meet and minister unto them, bringing them great and wonderful messages. And Jacob was a very important part in the Messiah that was to come, because it was through Jacob's seed and through Isaac's seed that the Lord Jesus would come. And you got to think about this scheme and when it started and how God created everything. He created the earth and he put man upon it, set him in the Garden of Eden, knowing exactly what was going to happen. As a matter of fact, he just didn't know it was going to happen. He ordained it to be the way that it was. I've got to write a young fella that somebody asked me, would I write him in the military and to encourage them, because they're in basic now and they've had some trouble. They got spider bit or something and their foot swelled up. Now it looks like he's probably going to have to go back through basic again. And I told his daddy, I said, "Look, when you talk to the boy, you make sure he understands that God don't make no mistakes." He don't make any mistakes. If you got spider bit, it was ordained to be so. And if you have to go back through it, it was ordained to be so. Because my goodness, you don't know what's going to happen them other 8 or 10 weeks when you go back through basic. Who you might meet or what might be said in your hearing that will bless you the rest of your life. Salvation may come to you during that second go-round. Or whatever it is in our own lives. It is just terrible today at how many people have no interest in the kingdom of God anymore. It's like they have given up and forsaken all faith, all hope of any kind. And it shows, just like those fellows out there on the Lord's Day work there. Doesn't cross their mind, I don't guess, that this is the Lord's Day and they ought to be in the Lord's house hearing the gospel preached. For one day they're going to stand before Him. Every man is going to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ when He sits on His judgment throne to judge the world. Every man. But they don't believe that. And they cannot believe that. It's not in them to believe that. But we do. All of God's people believe that. He says, Jeremiah 41 and 10 says, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Behold, all they that are incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing, and they that strive with thee shall perish." We don't have anything to worry about. No matter what happens to us, no matter what kind of afflictions or persecutions or whatever may come upon us, it's all according to God's purpose and according to His will. We cannot give up our hope and our faith in what the Lord Jesus Christ said, and this scheme of salvation that was set in motion when God put man on the earth and put Adam and Eve in the garden. And here come old Satan. Well, there was a scheme of salvation planned in eternity past. Man had to fall. He had to fall so that he could be redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Man had to fall. And they did. Adam fell and all of his posterity were born separated from God and alienated from Him. Until He brings us unto the light and lets us see the light. I want to go back and read that John 1:51. First chapter of John in the 51st verse. Of course, we read a lot more than that last week, but this Nathanael coming to Philip, bringing Nathanael to see the Lord Jesus, said, "We found Him." We found Him. And Philip findeth Nathanael in verse 45 and saith unto him, "We have found Him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Well, that's what they thought, that He was the son of Joseph. They did not yet realize, but Nathanael did. Nathanael did. When the Lord Jesus revealed to him that he had saw Him under the fig tree, and He was saying about Nathanael, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile." And Nathanael said unto him, "Whence knowest thou me?" Jesus answered and said unto him, "Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee." And Nathanael answered and said unto him, "Rabbi," which means master, "thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel." Now see, that just shows you that Nathanael was a well-read in the Scriptures, in the law of Moses and the prophets. He was well-read and knew that it was time for the Messiah to come. And when Jesus said, "I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you," Nathanael answered and said unto him, "Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou wilt see greater things than these." And he saith unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." Well, they did physically see that. They physically saw the angels ascending and descending at the Mount of Transfiguration. They saw such things. They even saw the Lord Jesus transformed into His glory, like we will see Him one day. Won't it be wonderful there? Won't it be wonderful there? Gina asked me on the way to church, "Are we going to be able to sing better when we get to heaven?" She said, "I'm afraid they might ask me to sit out one or two." We'll sing like angels. Oh, what a great thing when they descended at the Lord's birth and sang glory to God in the highest. And the angels are still with us. They even visit church services to hear the great gospel preached. Isn't that wonderful to think about? Now, unbelievers cannot, it doesn't click with them. They don't believe it. They can't believe it. They don't want to believe it. But yet they think everybody's going to heaven. Well, they're not. "Hereafter ye shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." Not only did they see that physically happen to the Son of Man, the Son of God, the second person of the Trinity, the mediator between God and man while he was on this earth. But it was as though heaven were opened when Jesus opened his mouth to preach the gospel. That the angels were ascending and descending, bringing great and wonderful messages. And Jesus spread them abroad. And so did the apostles. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 4. The apostle Paul, writing to Timothy, Second Timothy chapter 4, we'll just start there at verse 16. Well, no, let's back up a little bit. This is good stuff here. Verse 9, do thy diligence to come to me. This is his greetings to Timothy and his benediction. And he says, do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Cretans to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry, meaning John Mark. And Tychicus have I sent to Ephesus. The cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee, and the books, but especially the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. Of whom be thou ware of also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, as I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. That could have meant Nero, the people at Rome that hated him, because you know he was in prison there a long time. That's the reason he wanted the parchments, so he could write letters to the churches, which we are reading today. So that all the Gentiles, is that what he said? So that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. Meaning, it could have been that old serpent, the devil. He has a roaring lion, the Bible says, goeth about seeking whom he may destroy. This apostle was preaching that same gospel that the Lord Jesus, that same scheme of salvation that the Lord Jesus preached, and then his apostles preached, and here comes Paul, and he preaches the same gospel. It's a shame that it's been changed so much in these last days, such that it's not recognizable anymore, such that people have a false gospel that is being preached to them, and many of them believe that false gospel. But not so with the apostles, and not so with the apostle Paul. They preached the same gospel that the Lord Jesus did. And that is, if your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life, just go read John chapter 10. If you're one of my sheep, he said, I'm going to raise you up on the last day. No ifs, ands, and buts about it. The scheme of salvation that God the Father gave to God the Son, and the Holy Spirit now spreads it abroad amongst his people. Don't worry. It is still being spread abroad amongst his people. Even though there's a lot of worldly people inside so-called churches that do not believe the truth of the gospel anymore. They won't even read parts of the scripture anymore, like in Ephesians chapter 1, chapter 2, 2 Thessalonians, a lot of the other places. They will not even read those things. They don't want to hear such things that God's going to save some and he's going to let the rest go to hell. But yeah, That's exactly what he's going to do. Just read the book. And you'll know that judgment is coming upon the ungodly. But not his people. So please remember and understand that no matter what may transpire, no matter what may happen, it's all according to God's plan and all according to God's purpose. I hope the day comes when we see those eastern skies split wide open and the Lord Jesus and the saints coming down. I hope that day comes while I'm still breathing on this earth. But it matters not. I'm still going up. I'm still going to be took by the angels when I take that last breath on this earth. I'll be going to be absent from the bodies to be present with the Lord. And they got all kind of tales and stuff. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So don't worry about the journey. It'll be short and sweet. Can you imagine two of them big angels with wings on them hosting you up to heaven? Your soul. Your dead body will rot in the grave. And then come all back together on that great and glorious day when the Lord splits those eastern skies. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 14 says, let me read verse 12, 13, 14. And as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed, but thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. But to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? That's what the apostle is telling to the believers, to those heirs of salvation, about the ministering spirits, those angels. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? I like the way the scripture puts it when it lets us know that your faith is you're saved by grace through faith. And faith is a wonderful thing. It keeps you going. It keeps you increasing in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Faith in believing that what the Word of God says is true and all the promises in it is true, and that He's coming again, and that these ministering spirits are sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation. We hadn't received our salvation yet, not physically. We're not dead. The Lord hadn't returned. When that happens, either we die or the Lord returns, we will have inherited, we will have grasped it by the hand, our salvation. Now it's a promise. It's a promise. And by faith we believe it. And we hold on to that. It is a great strengthening. And like the apostle said, the Lord strengthened me. The Lord didn't desert me. The Lord didn't desert me when I was in my hour of need. He strengthened me. Now, He didn't appear to him physically where he could see him with his fleshly eyes, but He strengthened him in the inner man so that he would not be afraid, so that he could preach the gospel. And in a lot of the places that the apostle went, the Lord would tell him in a dream, or a vision, fear not. Don't hold your peace in this place. Don't be afraid. You preach the gospel because I have many people in this city. Talking about Corinth was one of the places. I have many people, and it was a wicked place Corinth was. He said, don't fear. Don't worry about it. I got you. I got you back. You've got... And he told him in those same scriptures, he told him, he said, you have preached to the Gentiles but now you're going to go to Rome. And you're going to preach to the king's house. You're going to preach to them directly. You're going to preach the gospel to them. And from there, it's going to spread to other parts of Rome and Italy and all over the world. The apostle was not afraid. Even when they stoned him to death and drug him outside the city and left him for dead, God raised him right back up. And he went right back into that same city. That's faith. That's knowing that God has got you back. You don't have to worry about it. And they finally killed Paul. They killed all the apostles. Except old John. I'm not sure about his end fate. But he lived to be an older man and preached there at Ephesus after he got off the Isle of Patmos. He preached. Faith is a wonderful thing. Remember that ministering spirits, angels from on high, are sent to minister to His people who are the heirs of salvation. We will inherit salvation. It will be ours. We'll be able to grab hold to it. We'll see the Lord on that great day, either if we go by death or if we go some other way, matters not. If the Lord Jesus returns, that'd be a wonderful thing. I'd sure love to see it. And I'm going to see it, whether on this earth or not. I'm going to see it. I'll either come with Him and see Him bust them skies wide open. Every eye on the earth will see Him in His great glory. No more to hang on the cross and no more to die. Nothing but victory, victory, victory. And for His people, it'll be a wonderful day. Pappy, would you ask the Lord's blessings on us? We'll be dismissed.